Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I have a slight admission to make that whenever I put one of these tie mics on, I always think of Naked Gun. Anybody seen that? Where he forgets to take the mic off and goes to the toilet and everybody hears some interesting sounds. So. Don't worry, I went to the toilet before the meeting, so it's not going to happen to us today. So, what I'm going to be talking about this morning is God's calling on our lives and how we come into that calling. I preached this back in Swansea a couple of weeks ago. You know, recycling is good for the environment. Just bringing it here again. And I decided I'm going to be talking about Saul and the difference between Saul and David. Now, I know that this has been done to death, but you can still learn a lot of good stuff from the difference between Saul and David. And when I titled this preach, I had in my mind that I was going to be preaching it in Bristol as well. And so I thought, oh, I'll go for a little Bristolian title for it. So I called it, "Hey Saul, where you at?" Which went down amazingly in Swansea because nobody had any idea what I was on about. And so yeah, sort of dropped dead there. But I've decided to change the name to Coming Into the Fullness of Your Calling. So I've got a couple of quite big passages this morning, so bear with me as I read through this, and then we'll talk about God's calling. So the first passage is from 1 Samuel 10, verses 20 to 23. And this is looking at Saul when he is set to become king. So then Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its clans, and the clan of the Matrites was taken by lot. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken by lot. But when they sought him, he could not be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, "Is there a man still to come?" And the Lord said, "Behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage." Then they ran and took him from there, and when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulder upwards. So we'll be coming back to that later. So that's just the situation with Saul. And then we'll contrast that with the situation with David. So that will be, we'll look at 1 Samuel 17, verses 24 to 26, and verses 32 to 37. So it'll be a bit of a gap. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, Goliath, they fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for this man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And a bit later on, verses 32 to 37. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him, Goliath. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his hair and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So we see two different situations there. We see how Saul reacted to his calling. We see how David reacted to his calling. So when I was preparing this again, thinking I was coming to, knowing that I was coming to Bristol, I was thinking, all right, I've got to make this a 3-point preach, because that's what Dad always does. He always does a 3-point preach. I got stuck at 2, but the second one has 2 parts, so it's kind of a 3-point preach. But well, you'll see in a minute. So my first consideration is that they were both called and they were both anointed. So we can read in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward." And similarly, 1 Samuel 10, verse 1, Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies." So both of these men were they were both called to be king. They were both anointed by Samuel, by God. And they both started in that same place. And so were we. We are all called. Every single person in this room has a calling on their life from God. Now, both of these men were insignificant in the eyes of the world. Saul was the least of the least. 1 Samuel 9:21. Saul answered, "Am I not a Benjaminite from the least of the tribes in Israel? And is not my clan the humblest of all the clans in the tribe of Benjamin? Why then have you spoken to me this way?" He thought nothing of himself. He was the lowest of the low. And similarly, David was a shepherd who he wasn't even considered to be important, really, by his father. So in 1 Samuel 16, Samuel invited Jesse and his whole family to come and eat with him. And Jesse took everyone, apart from David, who was left with the sheep. And so even in his father's eyes, David wasn't even that great. So these two were both insignificant people. But you know what? They both had an amazing calling on their life. And they were both anointed to do this amazing thing. And it doesn't matter where we come from or who we are. God has something for us. It doesn't matter if you consider yourself the least of the least or if you just don't think you're very important. But God has a calling on your life. He has called every single one of us here. For some people, it means to stand up in front of thousands of people and preach the good news. For other people, it's to travel, go off to Africa and become a missionary, things like this. But you know what? For some of us, the calling is to talk to our neighbour and show them the love of God. And that is just as important a calling as it is to stand up and preach to thousands of people. We go through different seasons as well, and it could be that you have felt a calling on your life to stand up and preach to a whole load of people, but maybe you're getting to the older stages in your life, and maybe that's not such a possibility anymore. But seasons can change, and God gives new callings. When I first preached this, you've got to remember the church back in Swansea has an average age of about 90. So this is more for them, but it's... So there are different seasons as well, and the callings can change, but God still always has a calling for us. And it can be that he wants us to do something that we consider massive. It can be something just as simple as talk to your neighbour, show them God's love. But every single one of those things is a calling from God and is very important. And to show how important that is, talking to your neighbour, showing the love of God to just one person, let's do some maths, or some math for our American guest. So I am a bit of a maths geek. I do like maths, and so I'm going to now talk about exponential growth. Yay! Didn't expect that this morning, did you? Heavily economist indeed. So I'm going to talk about a situation where we have one person, one Christian. Okay? And this one Christian decides that he will talk to one person, bring them to Christ one every year. So one person every year they will bring to Christ. And this person who they bring to Christ the following year will also bring one person to Christ. So in the first year, there'll be that one Christian, and they will bring somebody to Christ. There'll be two Christians. That next year, these two Christians will bring two more to Christ. There'll be four Christians. The following year, there'll be eight. I think you see how this is going. Yes? Okay. So after 10 years, you have 512 Christians. Now, that's not bad. Starting from one, 10 years, 512. That's pretty good. Okay? After 27 years, you have 60 million, so the population of the UK. After 29 years, you have 300 million, population of the US. in just 34 years, you have about 8 billion people, which is the population of the world. So starting from one person, if they went out and brought one person to Christ every year, in 34 years, we'd be done. Our job's done, we can go to heaven. Fantastic. So basically, get on the case. Come on, guys. I want to get to heaven. Bear in mind, that's just starting from one. If you started with 1,000, which I think it's safe to assume there are at least 1,000 Christians. I mean, that's... then it would be 24 years. And so it's that... I know this is like... I love maths, and I know this is a really geeky thing, but for me, it's just one of those amazing things that from one person, from one simple one-on-one conversation, bringing one person to Christ every year, in 34 years, that's 8 billion people. That's the population of the world. And that's just amazing, isn't it? That just that simple, one simple act can completely exponentially grow. And we are anointed for it. God has given us everything we need. He's given us certain gifts and training to prepare us for whatever our calling is, whether it is to preach to a group of people, whether it's to go off to Africa, whether it's to talk to that one person. God's given us everything we need. Again, as it said in 1 Samuel 17, David responded to Saul saying, well, I've been fighting off bears and lions since I was young. I mean, Goliath's nothing. God's been preparing him this whole time. And he does the same with us. He prepares us for what we need. He won't ask somebody to speak in front of thousands of people if he's not prepared them by speaking to smaller groups. And he gives them what they need. He helps them. He supplies them with all their needs. So think about what your calling may be. Think about where your gifts may lie. What are you good at? What do you enjoy? Often God coincides with calling with our enjoyment. He makes us enjoy what we are called to do. And the next sentence I've got written down here again, bear in mind, Swansea, older church. Just because you're older doesn't mean that you're no longer called. There are still things that you can do. And again, as I was saying earlier, we go through different seasons that sometimes we go through a season of having one calling, but then God calls us to do something else. And so it's good to keep going back to God and just saying, you know what, God, what are you calling me to do at this season? What are you calling me to do in this time? What have you provided for me? What skills and gifts have you given me? And where can I use them? So... that was kind of my first point. They were both called and anointed. But this is where it gets interesting. This is about their attitudes towards their calling. So my second point, with what attitude do you come into your calling? Now, Saul and David clearly differ here. They were both called to be king, and they were both anointed to be king. So they both had the same calling and the same anointing, but they went about it in two totally different ways. I'm not going to read the passages again because they are quite long, but I'll sort of paraphrase a bit. I'll just read this little bit. But when they sought him, Saul, he could not be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, is there a man still to come? And the Lord said, behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. Or in the King James Version, it's amongst the stuff, which I quite like. He's in the stuff. and yet we look at David and his response. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, Goliath. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. So look at those two situations. Saul was scared. He hid. God had called him to do this thing, and he was terrified. What do I do? I can't do this. So he went and hid. Now, there are some Bible scholars who suggest that actually he was just being really humble, and that he was just like, oh, no, I'm... not me. But I highly doubt that. Reading the rest of Saul's life, seeing where he went, where some of the things that he was doing, I mean, to me, I believe he hid out of fear. And you can tell he didn't even feel that he could do it or was worthy right from the start. Who am I to to do, am I not a Benjaminite from the least of the least? Right from the start, he was like, I'm not worthy, I can't do this. Then we look at David. The first thing, the first major thing that David did after he was called and anointed, he fought Goliath. Now that's pretty crazy to me. He's just been anointed and, right, I'm going to be king, let's go kill that giant. It's just a bit... But the thing is, he didn't fear man. He feared God. He understood God's calling on his life, and he knew that God would be there for him. He knew God's preparation on his life with the bears and the lions. He knew what God had done in him and for him, and he knew how God saw him. And he was ready for it, despite the fact that he was standing in front of this Goliath, that he didn't fear Goliath. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 2, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. If we just trust him, if we have faith in who he is, I mean, he's proven time and time again who he is, how he will never let us down, his faithfulness. If we can just trust in that and trust that he is an almighty God, that we don't need to fear whatever comes against us when we come into our calling, we don't need to fear. We can just have faith in God. So I'm going to go into two sub-points now, just to make it my three-point preach. So the two key factors here, the differences that we could see were, firstly, how do we see ourselves and whom do we fear? Saul saw himself as nothing. I read a minute ago, who am I? I'm a Benjaminite, I'm least of least. Now it says of him that he was taller than everyone else in Israel, he was a handsome man, he was a great man, but he didn't have confidence in who he was. And even after God's anointing, he felt that he couldn't do it, and he hid. Then we look at David, who received the anointing and acted on it because he saw himself how God saw him. He didn't. There were loads of soldiers there surrounding Goliath, loads of Israelite soldiers, and David probably wasn't the biggest one there. I mean, there would have been mighty warriors in the Israel army, and David was a boy. But he didn't see that. He saw what God saw. He saw God's calling on his life. He saw the training, and he saw, you know what, God has placed something in me and I can do this because I've got God with me. And he saw himself exactly how God saw him. Now you may ask, was he proud? This is something that is quite a tough one. He was confident, but I don't think he was proud. He just trusted in God and knew who God had made him to be. Now, this is actually something that I struggled with, and I think it's something we can all struggle with. So, as was pointed out this morning, Richard is my dad. I don't know about any of you guys, but I actually used to enjoy listening to him when I was younger and hearing him preach, and I thought he was a really good preacher. Still do, don't worry. But it's that thing of, well, God's called me to stand up in front of people and preach. Well, who am I to do that? How can I do that? I mean, my dad's great at it. So, yeah. And I've had these wonderful, I've heard these wonderful preachers, these wonderful men and women of God who come up and speak, and they're really confident and they have fantastic stories and they make everybody laugh and it's, oh, they're amazing, but how can I do that if God's called me to it? Or it happens with, when I was in Swansea, I sort of got dropped into leading worship every week. But there was a worship leader there before me who was there for a while when I was first coming into it. And he was an amazing pianist and a great singer. And God was calling me to lead worship. And why are you doing that, God? I mean, I'm not very good. I can't play the piano as well as him. I can't sing as well as him. I mean, this is ridiculous. Why are you calling me to do this? And this is something that I've had to battle through, but you know what? God did call me to preach. So I'm here this morning. He did call me to lead worship. And it is different from my dad's. It's not 3 points. It is different worship from Dan's. But you know what? It's just as important, because it's what God had called me to do. I could probably witness to some people in a certain way that Dad wouldn't be able to, or that Dan wouldn't be able to. God's worked it out that I can reach people where other people can't, and that is the calling that he had on my life. And I can't look at myself and say, well, who am I, when there are these much greater men or women out there? But no, you know what? This is what God's called me to do, and I need to stand up and do it. I've had to trust in God's calling on my life and who he had made me to be. Whom do you fear? So this is the other key issue. Whom do we fear? Saul feared man. He was scared to be the king of Israel, so he hid. He didn't trust God. He didn't fear God. He feared man. And you can see this several other times in his life as the king. Big example, of course, was with the sacrifice, when Samuel said, wait for me and I'll come and sacrifice. And Saul, scared of the people who wanted the sacrifice to be done, that he just went ahead and did it. Because he was scared of the people and not of God. Whereas David, he didn't fear man, but God. When this uncircumcised Philistine was defying the armies of the living God, David did something about it. Because he feared God over this man. Who is this man to defy God? He knew who God was. He trusted in the awesomeness, in the almighty power of God. Now, this is again something that I've underlined here. Actually, I'm having to overcome. This is something that is still quite hard for me. And again, I think this is something that can be quite hard for all of us. God has called us all to do certain things, and some of those things are scary. I'm here this morning. I'm not going to say that. It will get rude. No, I was scared. Basically, let's put it that way. I was a little bit nervous this morning coming up and speaking to all you guys. But you know what? God would call me to do it. And God has called us all to make disciples of all nations. So it comes back to what I was talking about earlier, about even if it's just talk to your neighbour, love your neighbour. To do that, we need to speak to them. I'm often afraid to go and speak to people. I very much like my own company. I would love to just sit in my room and read a book or something, watch a film. But God has called us all to go out and meet people, speak to people, make friends. And it's far out of my comfort zone, even when I'm not talking about God. When he wants me to talk about him to a complete stranger, I'm dying inside. But you know what? I still need to do it. I need to be bold and speak to them regardless. Because it's another one of the callings on my life, and this is for all of us here. He had put that calling on our lives, that we need to go out and make disciples of all nations. We need to be brave and talk to people. I am very encouraged by all the stories that I hear that Mum and Dad pass on to me about the things that are happening in this church, about the people going out and meeting. I can't remember what you call those bags for the... Lady on the fifth floor, and all of these things. I mean, it's fantastic stories that I'm hearing, and I think it's really encouraging. It's really great. And we just need to keep going with this. We need to keep getting out there and meeting these people, speaking to them, not being afraid of talking to them about God, but just coming into his calling and just doing it, standing up, being brave, knowing who God is and trusting him, trusting that he's given you everything you need to do this. He's given you your relationship with him. You know him. You can talk about him. He's given you these people. He brought them into your lives. He's given you everything you need. Now you just need to stand up and do it. Now, another issue kind of related to this, and it's slightly off topic, but it's still important, is apathy. Because sometimes God calls us to do something, and we think, I'll do it next time. Or I'll do it when somebody talks to me about it. Or, oh, don't worry, someone else will do it. But you know what? If God's called us to do it, we need to stand up and we need to do it now. We need to get up, get out there and do it. We shouldn't wait for other people to do it. If everybody else had that attitude, nobody would do anything. And, oh, I'll just wait till next time. Well, nothing will get done. We need to stand up. We need to step into what God has called us to. And again, I mean, 34 years. If we just get out and do it, we could just be done. Go to heaven. Isn't that fantastic? So yeah, so that's what I have for you this morning. I'll just do a brief recap. So we are all called. And it doesn't matter what our calling is, it's still important. We need to be bold in our calling. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. Trust in his provision. He has given us everything we need. So what can you do now? I asked you earlier to think about what your calling might be. Who has God called you to speak to? What has God been asking you to do? Now is the time to go and do it. God's given you everything you need. And if there's something else you need, then he'll give that to you too. He's not going to leave you short. He never does. There's countless times in the Bible, just read it, of all the times where he's been faithful, all the times that he's provided everybody with everything they need. He is always faithful, so we should have faith in him. So let's go save the world. 34 years, come on, let's do it.